It is a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What a weekend ahead. Heisman Trophy. Obviously, things in this town all centering around tomorrow night, 8 o'clock kick, MLS Cup, Atlanta United, and Portland as the Falcons go out to face the Green Bay Packers. And again, I left scratching my head to the fact, Hugh Douglas, that we have a game between these two proud franchises and where they have come since that championship game a few years ago. These two proud franchises, both kind of, well, not kind of scuffling, both very much scuffling and trying to find their footing and both thinking about next year.
Yeah, it's not the season that either team thought it was going to be having. It's not. But like I said, John, you have to finish it out. The unfortunate thing about, well, it's not unfortunate. It's one of the necessary evils of football. You just got to finish. You can't tank. I know a lot of people out there will probably want the Falcons to tank and get a better draft pick. Can't do that. You got to fight this thing out to the bitter end because now you got to figure out what moves you're going to probably potentially have to make in the offseason if some of these guys quit on you.
Yeah, and of course, we're talking about the Falcons and Panthers, Packers here. AT just said to me in the break, he said, you know, we forgot to ask about keys to the game because we're over here thinking about other things.
Well, I only thinking have one about key. Soccer.
Yeah, well, I all they have one. Block, damn it. Block, damn it. That's all. That's my key to the game. Just block, you know?
You know what my key to the game is?
What?
Not to let the weather make a coward out of you. Like, not to let the weather make a coward out of you. And everybody said, I know you're probably going to say, it's not going to be that cold out there. The game's at one. Hey, listen, brother, when you come in from halftime and you've been out there and lathered up and you sweated and now you start to cool off and you got to go out there and restart that engine, if you're not used to that and the sun's going down, that could be a huge deterrent. That could be a huge deterrent. So, you can't let the weather make a coward out of it.
Well, it's going to be – I mean, it'll be packed at Lambeau Field, even with the bad year the Packers are having, because Packers fans live and die and bleed green and gold up there. But the Packers are not having a very good year. They just fired their coach, and a lot of questions about that franchise. Wayne Larrivee is the long-time voice of the Packers. We had a chance to spend a couple of minutes with him finding out what's going on in Green Bay, and that's how we began the conversation.
Well, I mean, it's been a transition to a new head coach, although Joe Philbin is obviously has great history here in Green Bay, and he's been a head coach. So I think the transition's been relatively smooth in that regard. But no question, you lose your head coach for the players. That's a shakeup. There's no doubt about that.
And what does it mean, actually? You know, you look at this. Was it a case where, because we had heard down here in Atlanta, Wayne, that it had just become kind of stale. There were, you know, notwithstanding the issues between, at least reportedly, between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, but the whole thing had just kind of ceased to work in a positive fashion. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, you know, I think there are a number of reasons for that, but I will address this. You know, I think the relationship between McCarthy and Rodgers is a little bit overblown. I can only tell you what I know from the two individuals. Do they disagree on things? Yeah, at times they do, but they've had a very good working relationship, and I think they also have a decent relationship off the field. I mean, they're not contemporaries by any stretch of the imagination, but by the same token, I think they have a lot of respect for each other and a decent friendship. But as a work, you know, as two people working together, there was no question, creative tension, but I don't see that as necessarily a negative. And so I think this Rodgers-McCarthy thing is a bit overblown in that that's not the reason why Mike McCarthy does not have a job today. I think that in general, two things have happened. Number one, yeah, maybe the message got a little stale. I don't know. You can only interpret that by what you see on the field from the team. But the other factor is this. The roster is not as good as it used to be, and that goes back to drafts between 2013 and 2016, where the Packers don't have very many people left from those drafts, and yet that's where the bulk of your football team should be at this stage of the game. So, you know, coaches never get fired because of X's and O's. I think they get fired because maybe the roster gets a little stale more than anything else.
Wayne Larrivee is the play-by-play voice of the Green Bay Packers on the flagship of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, 92.9 The Game, talking about the Packers and the Falcons set for Sunday at Lambeau Field. When we looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year, Wayne, we saw Falcons going into Lambeau. Here it is December. I think all of us, you, all of us here at 92.9 The Game, we all assumed that this was going to be a critical game for both teams for the playoffs. Are you so, so surprised as we are that it's the two teams at the position that they're in?
Yeah, I really am. I thought the Packers, you know, we had higher hopes, obviously, for the Packers in that they would contend for the division title and be in the running for a wild card playoff spot. It's very interesting, and I think people have been writing about this, I've noticed. And it is very interesting that since these two teams met in the NFC Championship after the 2016 season, that they've really gone in a downward trend. And, you know, part of it was the injury to Rodgers last year, but this year Aaron's played every game. So, you know, the downward trend for the Packers since that point. With Atlanta, I would say since they led the Super Bowl 28-3, where have they gone since then? And they, too, again, injury still a big part of it this year, but nonetheless, the Falcons have, you know, kind of fallen on some hard times as well. It gives you an indication that window of opportunity, it doesn't stay open forever. And because you're good one year in the NFL doesn't mean you're going to be good the next year.
No, it certainly doesn't. And how do you view Wayne Larrabee, play-by-play voice of the Packers? How do you view the Falcons? They have had quite a few injuries, but we're trying down here to avoid using that as an excuse. And instead, it's been kind of more about, you know, somewhat, you know, lethargic play at times, it seems, by this club, especially during this four-game losing skid, where they simply haven't played up to the standard that we've expected out of Dan Quinn's teams.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. And in watching the Baltimore game, and I've looked at a couple of the other games as well in this losing streak they're on, yeah, you're right. You know, but here's the thing. When you're not making plays, you look lethargic. And that's been the same case with the Packers. And they really looked lethargic against the Cardinals, and that was kind of the impetus for making the change at head coach at this point in time. That kind of solidified what I guess the front office was thinking. At least that's what Mark Murphy said the other day, the president and CEO of the team. But, you know, I will go back to this. It's not that people aren't trying. It's not that these athletes don't go out there intend to play a great game every single week. It's just sometimes circumstances arise and you just don't have it. You're not making plays and you look lethargic. The thing that's perplexing about Atlanta is you have Matt Ryan playing at an exceptional level. If passer rating is what we base quarterback play on, he's playing tremendously well, but it's not reflecting in the record of the football team. And it goes to show you there's more to it than just a great quarterback. And in fact, I don't know if you can quantify the performance of a quarterback based on numbers. It's a position that has way too many intangibles for passer rating to tell you, well, he's having a great year. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Aaron Rodgers is just a tick under 100 as a passer rating, and that's a very good rating. And yet, you know, the Packers are not having the kind of year you would expect. And Aaron, quite frankly, is not having the year he was hoping for.
You're talking with Wayne Larrabee, play-by-play voice of the Green Bay Packers. You're right. I mean, Aaron only has the one interception this year. He's on pace here by, what is it, like 20 completions, or rather 20 attempts in this game on Sunday, and he'll set the all-time NFL record for most passes without an interception. Is that, I have that stat correct, right? I believe so.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
So, yeah, you look at this. What do you, let's look a little bit going forward. I mean, Aaron's window is closing. We know that. He's starting to become, surprisingly for you and I, an older quarterback in the NFL. So what do you expect the Packers are going to do? Is this the beginning of a test run for Joe Philbin for this job, or are they going to go outside and look to a new young coach with a kind of a different message?
Well, I think, number one, Joe is going to be a candidate for this job, but a lot of it will depend on how the team performs, not just in the wins and losses, but how they come out and perform, you know, how they play the game. I think that'll go into the evaluation of Joe. On the other hand, yeah, I mean, the Packers are probably looking for new blood, that type of thing. You know, it's a very important hire, and I think that what they need to get in here is a coach who has the kind of stature to take over that people will listen to. And it'll be interesting to see how they go. I don't think they're married to any one thing. I don't think they're necessarily trying to find the next Sean McVay. I don't think they're ruling out defensive coaches. I don't think they're ruling out a special team coach if that's the right guy for the job. I think what'll be more important is whatever coach they hire, the staff he's able to put together, because that's really where the work is done.
You know, I think in the final analysis and the final point of our interview, Wayne, is we didn't expect this kind of a game between these two teams at this juncture. So I think when we look at this game, at least from my point of view, and I wonder if you agree, what we're going to be looking at is two proud franchises kind of trying to decide who's going to be playing for their jobs and where they're going to be positioned to start next season and not so much end this year.
I think you're right in many respects. And, you know, every player, and they understand this, that takes the field, regardless of what's at stake from a win and loss type situation, they know that everybody around the league is seeing this tape. And so they've got to put their best foot forward, and they try to do that. That's why I don't believe players quit. I think that sometimes circumstances, their performance just isn't as good as it normally would be. And football is the ultimate team game. And if the people around you aren't playing well, then maybe your performance isn't as good either. But I think the Atlanta Falcons still have a lot of talent. And I understand they've had a couple of major injuries defensively, and that's not an excuse. That's a fact. The Packers are a team that is kind of retooling its roster, and they're trying to retool it as fast as they can around Aaron Rodgers. They need another big draft coming up this offseason, and they need to make a few moves from a standpoint of free agency and hit on those moves in order to get this thing back on track really quick because, as you mentioned, Aaron is now 35 years old, and you can't go into a 4 or 5 year rebuilding plan and expect Aaron to be at the helm when you can reach when you reach the promised land.
That is Wayne Larrabee, who, by the way, we should mention, has a new book called "If These Walls Could Talk: Stories from the Packers Sideline Locker Room and Press Box." And I know we have a lot of Packers fans out there who certainly know Wayne, love Wayne, and so maybe you want to check out his new book. Yeah, so it is interesting what's going to be happening. I have no idea, Hugh Douglas, which direction the Green Bay Packers are going to go with their coaching search. Joe Philbin's going to get a chance to win this job. I wonder, in a way, how good a job it is right now. I know that sounds almost like heresy because we're talking about, you know,
Aaron Rodgers.
And we're talking about the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, but like I said, John, when I was talking to early this week, we're still in the throes of a season, so I don't want any Green Bay Packers fans to feel like in their car right now that I'm disrespecting their team. But when Bruce Arians comes out and says that he would rather coach Baker Mayfield, and I'm paraphrasing, he said he'd rather coach Baker Mayfield than Aaron Rodgers, it kind of makes you wonder why. Then you got Mark Schmur, what he had to say about Aaron Rodgers. It kind of makes you wonder why. Now, we don't know all the story about what has happened in Green Bay, what transpired, anything like that. But I feel like this, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Mm-hmm.
There's something there. And I think that when you have Coach Killer mentioned or synonymous with your name in some circles that, you know, is whispers of that, yeah, that might be a little bit of a deterrent.
Well, you know, beyond, and you're right, we don't know. But beyond that, I think I would rather take the Cleveland job right now than the Green Bay job, if for no other reason than I look at the Cleveland roster and I see Nick Chubb and Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and Baker Mayfield. I see a lot of Emmanuel Ogba, all those good young pieces that if you mold them, plus whatever you're going to get this year, that if you mold them, you know, Cleveland has a chance to be pretty darn good pretty soon. I'm not sure how far the Packers are away because the Packers have really good veterans. Obviously, they got some great players, but boy, the holes on that team.
What's the one position that you feel that you have to have that there can't be any questions asked about on a football team to help make that team successful? The one position.
Well, we all know what you're saying.
Yeah. Right. And that's what the Green Bay Packers have. For all those questions that you don't know about the Green Bay Packers, the one question that you don't have to answer is the question at quarterback.
Right.
I don't know what Baker Mayfield is going to be next year. I know he came out and he's very boisterous. He's very outspoken. He's very fiery. That doesn't translate into a whole lot of wins. I don't know. We'll see. Aaron Rodgers is a proven commodity. He's a proven commodity. You put some players around him, you know for a fact that that's going to be a better situation. So it's one of those things, John, where if I got a proven quarterback, I'm going to go ahead and roll with the proven quarterback.
Yeah, he is a proven. He's still a great player, and he's had to play ding the last couple of years because of, you know, the issues along their offensive line. It will be interesting. I mean, maybe Joe Philbin wins it. Do know this: we know that there have been two coaching changes in the NFL this year. Cleveland and Green Bay, and both coaching changes happened immediately before the Falcons played that team, and the Falcons had to be the first team to play the interim coach, and we saw what happened with Cleveland. Let's see what happens with Green Bay.
For most people, Friday is just a day before the weekend.
Wrapping up the work week with a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
I will say this, a little bit north of us, welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. A little bit north of us, they are excited about the National Football League because up in the great state of Tennessee, they have a team that is knocking on the door of the playoffs, and last night they won again to go above 500. The Tennessee Titans are 7-6 and making noise in the AFC South, and they dispatched of the very disappointing Jacksonville Jaguars in fine fashion, beat them by 3 touchdowns last night, 30-9. And you in this game, does anybody have Derrick Henry on their fantasy team? I don't play fantasy anymore. Arthur, do you have him?
My son did. I had to hear about it all night.
Did?
No, he played him last night.
Oh, he did play him? He had him. Derrick Henry, one-time Alabama star, 238 yards, an all-time Monday night record, breaking the old Monday night record of one-time Tennessee Titans star CJ2K, and 4 touchdowns. And those 4 touchdowns included this attempt.
At the 1, the tight, Mariota gives it to Henry. Henry bounces it outside, 5, 10, 15, stiff arm, 20, 25, 30, 40, stiff arm, 50, 40, 30. He's on his feet, big chase, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Titans, 99 yards, the longest run in franchise history, and the Titans are up by 11.
Oh, it wasn't just 99 yards to tie a Monday Night Football record. No, 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 Hugh Douglas. It included stiff arm after stiff arm. You know, it's one thing when Tony Dorsett 35 years ago went 99 yards. He broke one tackle at the line and was gone. Oh, Derrick Henry was hand fighting the whole way down. You sit down, you sit down, you sit down. It was literally one of the greatest runs I've ever seen. It was great.
Oh, there was no question about that, John. I mean, he was in what they like to call now beast mode. I mean, you know, like, but he's not a little dude, though. He's like 6'3", 250 pounds. That's a big old man. He reminds you kind of Eddie George. And I don't know why anybody in their right mind, when they see that big old man running down the sideline, why are you trying to tackle him high? You got to cut him. You got to cut him. I don't know. Like, that's when I think some of the DBs, some of their pride got in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because, listen, that man rolling, you would have been better off trying to take your chances by just cutting him and letting him jump over top of you. You'd rather have that happen than to have what they did to you last night and just stiff-arm you and put you all on the highlight reel. This is a bad look for the Jaguars as far as, you know, this was a team that came in with a lot of bravado, had a lot of bravado last year. And for them to get manhandled like they did, man, that was a tough one.
So it ties an NFL record, a Monday Night record, all kinds of records with something that happened here 35 years ago.
Goal line defense for the Vikings. The handoff, Dorsett up the middle. Here he goes. Cuts to his right.
Going all the way.
To the 30. To the 40. He's got 2 men to beat. To the 40. To the 30. To the 20. To the 10. The 5. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Tony Dorsett is in the record books. 99 yards.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I guess still is. Anthony Dorsett, when he was at Pitt and won the Heisman, became Tony Dorsett when he showed up at the Cowboys. And I hope you Cowboys fans were able to record that off the radio or maybe go to YouTube and can record it and remember your glory days. 35 years ago,
I like it, though. It's Cowboy week for Eagles fans. So yeah,
Petty John.
No, I was just offering a bit. I was there. You know, at the Super Bowl against the Bills, I mean, I was a much, much younger man, but I was there. Tony Dorsett run, you know, kind of lived in infamy for a long time. But I was thinking here, Hugh, what is it in this day and age, right, we have maybe, I'm not really sure why, but we have all these quarterbacks throwing for 500 yards, you know, 500 yards, 7 touchdowns, whatever they're throwing for, right? If I'm not mistaken, this year we had Adrian Peterson go 90 for a touchdown. We had Nick Chubb go 92 for a touchdown. A couple of weeks back, Lamar Miller of the Texans went 97 for a touchdown. Now we've got 99 from Derrick Henry. By my count, that's at least four 90-plus touchdown runs in 1 year.
That's pretty impressive.
That's kind of different.
You know what's more impressive about this run from Derrick Henry? This is the best game he had rushing the ball all season long. Dude, this John, he was averaging like 5 yards. He hasn't had a 100-yard game until this one he had last night. That's what I was trying to say. He hasn't had a 100-yard game till this one last night.
He had 238 yards and four touchdowns. I don't know what that is in your fantasy league, but it's a lot. Man, it's a lot.
I want to say my son said he accumulated like 45, 46 points. I said, that's all?
Well, it depends on your league. In my league, it would be 27. That's it. You get 3 points for a 100-yard game, and you get the points for the touchdowns, so 24.
That's still a lot, though. In fact, that's not a lot in fantasy football?
It depends on how you score it.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. I was about to say, I mean, I don't play that much. I mean, I play in the Coca-Cola League, but, you know, my man, shout out to Rick Campbell. He handles all that. He does all that heavy lifting.
You trust
all
him?
That emotion. Yes, okay. Wholeheartedly.
Okay.
Rick Campbell is a very passionate man about his fantasy football.
He plays in a lot of leagues.
He does. He does do that. He does do that, but he's on top of it.
Yeah, he plays it a lot. He is a fantasy football kind of guy.
Here was the one thing I was most impressed by, the post run. Uh-huh. If you remember, Tony Dorsett, when he scored, he spiked the ball and went into the stands. He never got a chance to keep that football.
Right.
And for years, he has been trying to get it, hasn't been able to.
Oh, yeah, good luck with
Derrick Henry kept that football, and I was most happy to see that.
Yeah, so the Titans very much in the mix here as they win and go to 7-6 here, and they're hunting down a possible playoff spot. You got Baltimore at 7-5 and Pittsburgh at 7-4-1, who are in the wild card, and so Tennessee making a late run at it. It's been kind of a Dow Jones year for the Titans, but – you know what? I mean, they've had some great wins, and they've had some bad losses, and now they have another big win, and so hopefully they can, you know, kind of hold the area down. Carolina, meantime, is going to be trying to make a run, late run at a playoff spot, but they're going to have to do so without Greg Olsen. He is back on the IR. He has a tear in his plantar fascia. That means in his foot, and I believe the plantar fascia is on the bottom of your foot, if I'm not mistaken.
Never had it, but that sounds about right, John.
Yeah, and so – and
never
and,
had one of those.
People wondering if he's about to wind his career down. Alex Smith, our thoughts go out to him. He had multiple surgeries on his leg, and that's not just the thing with the Redskins quarterback. Apparently, he got really infected, and they're trying to save the leg.
Yeah, that's real. Like when the nerve damage and stuff in there, yeah, that's real.
Mm.
You don't think about how bad the injury is, the severity of the injury, until you hear stuff like that, infections and all the other good stuff. Yeah, so yeah, he's. It's him and the quarterback from UCF. I can't remember. He's
Mackenzie Milton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Same thing.
Well, they were talking about it. I remember reading a story about that, but they were talking about that. I don't know if they had to do that, but it's a big deal, man. It's a real big deal.
Yeah, I will say this. I have a little Alex Smith story for you. Does anybody know the name Ted Tolner? You remember that? He was head coach at USC. He was the head coach of San Diego State, and I went to do a story on Reggie Bush when Reggie was in high school and was the number one player in the nation. And we're at the game, Helix High, and Ted Tolner's with me, and I'm asking him about Reggie Bush. And during the course of it, I said, what do you think about his quarterback, Alex Smith? And Ted Tolner said, no, you're not going to be any good.
That's why he didn't last as coach.
Ends up as the number one pick in the NFL. And had had a really good career. He really did. Poor Alex bounced around with so many teams and so many offensive coordinators and managed to succeed in a lot of places. We wish him the best.
Poor Alex. You're talking about the injury, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Alex made a ton of money in his career.
Yeah. Oh, no, he did.
He made a ton of bread. So, he went to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, he ain't too bad. He ain't doing too bad.
No, I was talking about his leg. Yeah, I was talking about
his leg. Yeah. Yeah, that's messed up.
Then there's Reuben Foster. Now, much has been made about the Washington Redskins and this whole Kaepernick thing, and you're not going to talk to Kaepernick, but you take AP and Reuben Foster. Go figure this Reuben Foster thing, because the ex-girlfriend that accused him of all of this is now on TV, and she's recanting, and who the hell knows what's going on? I mean, we get to a point where we just kind of, we want to put our fingers in our ears and go la, 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 because we can't understand who to believe and when to believe them.
I don't know which one you're talking about, but the one that I saw, the video that I saw on television, I think she was sitting there with a lawyer, and she was talking about how she could not believe that the Redskins had signed Reuben Foster. That's the video that I saw. It was not – the one that I saw was not too favorable to Reuben Foster because she was talking about how she went out to see him and she threatened to tell, I guess, his new girlfriend about the fact that he flew her out there, something like that. And to be honest, I stopped watching because it was one of those things where this is a very, very sensitive subject, and it's at the point now where the water's so muddy, you don't know who to believe. You don't know which side of the story to believe.
She made allegations. Then she retracts the allegations. Yeah, and you're right. And now she's back on TV saying, I retract my retraction. Okay, which is it? All right? You make an allegation. Then you come out and you say, I was lying. And now you're coming back out saying, I was lying about lying.
I tell you, you know this. This is a real sensitive subject for me. And I get real up in my feelings about this because, you know, I've been through this situation. But at the same time, John, you have to be very, very careful about how you handle these things because it's one of those things where we don't know. We don't know exactly what happened. And the unfortunate thing about this is because of the nature of Reuben Foster's job, aggression is a huge part of his nature in the job that he has to perform. And people tend to lump that into like your personal lives. And the first thing they're going to say is how can you separate the two when it's your job to be this, that, and the third. But when you have young ladies that recant stories, say one thing and then come out and say something different, it kind of makes it hard to distinguish who's being honest and who's not. So the best thing for you to do as a man when in situations like this, you really can't win. You really cannot win, and there's nothing that you can say that is going to come out the right way. So you just have to, if you can, and I know this might be hard, but try to keep yourself out of those situations as best that you possibly can. Because it's unfortunate that there are some young ladies that have to deal with abuse, and then there are some young ladies that use abuse to further their career goals or whatever it is you want to call it. And I'm not saying that's what she's doing. But there has been, you know, times in the past where people have done that. I don't know which one this is, so I just stopped watching.
Going to be a busy and hopefully very fruitful weekend for the city of Atlanta. The Hawks, Atlanta United with the MLS Cup. Falcons, it is a Falcons Friday. Our coverage of the Falcons begins with the Wait For Tailgate Show at 11 a.m. That'll lead you, of course, to the coverage of the Falcons and Packers. The Wait For Tailgate Show, 11 a.m. on Sunday. When we get back, tomorrow, two games, one night. If you're going, understand there's going to be two games in the right next door to each other. So plan accordingly. That and the weather. Next on the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're talking Falcons with a Falcons Friday.
What about Friday?
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is a Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, but it is a busy weekend. Falcons are going to be out of town, which is probably good for them considering everything else that's going to be going on in town. If you are going, welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. If you are going to the game tomorrow night between Atlanta United and the Portland Timbers, and I just want to let you know if you're going to the Hawks game against the Nuggets, that those two events are going to come kind of crashing together from State Farm Arena and Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The Hawks game, a couple of things just a little house cleaning here. The Hawks game, because it's on at the same time as MLS Cup, we are going to be airing, if you're looking for the Hawks game on radio, the Hawks and Nuggets will be on our sister station, Star 94.1. Okay, so that's the Hawks and Nuggets on Star 94 as we have that. That'll be a 7:30 tip at State Farm Arena. The kickoff across the plaza at Mercedes-Benz Stadium will be 8 o'clock, and so both sides kind of need to know this. Because you'll have the NBA crowd going in at the same time as 75,000 people from a soccer crowd who are going to be going in at the same time as the NBA crowd, right? So just add that many more people to what a normal game might be like there, and that should tell you something about parking. And also keep your eyes. Now, we're not weathermen, Hugh, you and I, but we're hearing all these stories about
wintry mix
and heavy, heavy rain.
Wintry. Somebody tweeted me about that. I hope you're listening. I hope I said it to your liking. Wintry. 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 Wintry.
Well, what did you say the first time that they weren't
lying? I don't know. It was funny, but they just reminded me, see, Hugh, this is how you said it. They kind of broke it down phonetically for me, and I'm like, forget you. But yeah, it was pretty funny.
And it's
wintry.
It's pretty obvious. We're 25 games into the Hawks season as they get ready to host the Nuggets. They were in Denver. Nuggets kind of beat up on them in Denver, but then again, that's not unexpected. The Hawks are 5-20, and they've lost 4 in a row, and they are really in a group now, as you can see. I don't know how you really kind of phrase this, with 4 teams kind of separating themselves towards the top of the ping pong ball list, the Cleveland Cavaliers being one of them, and that is not good news for the Atlanta Hawks because you were hoping Cleveland was going to have a better year so you could get their pick in the first round, and you may not. So you have Cleveland, the Bulls, the Hawks, and Phoenix, and those 4 teams, it's like, because I think the Hawks are on pace to win 16, 17 games, something
like
that.
How many games are we in? Like 26, 25? 25? And you talking about ping pongs already? Come on, John. That's a lot of basketball still left to be played. I hear you. Mm-hmm. I hear you. But dang. So in your world, John, who's going to the finals? Since you already know who the worst teams are. Who's in the finals right now?
That's actually a really good question. You would think that
it's not, John. It's too early in the season. I would think.
Well, yeah, because nobody. Partly because, Golden State has not separated itself. And so as a result, the West is a jumbled mess at the moment. I would still think Golden State is the favorite in the West.
Yes.
No doubt. I mean, Golden State has been the most injured team of the Western Conference teams thus far. Houston has had a little bit of injury as well.
Right.
But Golden State has had Steph Curry out. Draymond Green is still out.
Mm-hmm.
So they're at 17-9 right now. I'm not worried about the Warriors. What is surprising about the West is that the LA Clippers is near the top of that conference.
And you still have LeBron out there, and
yep.
And we'll see how all that works out. To the East, I mean, there's no – again, Toronto's had a great start, but
– Toronto's the best team in the league right now.
Well, at the moment, yeah. Boston is pretty darn good.
Yeah, but they're still trying to find their way.
I know.
14-10, and they're on, I think, a 4-game winning streak right now. But, at the end of the day, in the East, expect to see Boston, Toronto, Milwaukee, Philadelphia as the final 4 teams or so.
Right, and so we'll see. But to answer your question, am I counting ping pong balls? Yeah.
I hope you're not stressing out about it.
No, it kind of seems like it feels that way because it's like I guess for me, I kind of knew going into the season what the Hawks were going to be. And so I understand that, our picks are tied to the success of the Cavaliers in Dallas, the Dallas Mavericks. I understand how that could influence or change in their own picks, how that can influence the outcome for the mm-hmm. potential draft picks that we could have next year. But at the same time, it's a long season to play. It's almost like watching the Heisman, John. Right now, you're watching the Heisman from the beginning, waiting for the results. I'm gonna probably start watching 5 minutes left in the Heisman, especially since it comes on the same time as Atlanta United. That's just the analogy that I'm trying to use in what you're doing. You're like already speculating at the beginning of the show who's gonna win the Heisman, and they just started rolling the credits to start the show.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you're right. I mean, but I'm saying that, yes, it's about building this franchise, and one of the ways you're going to build the franchise is if they can wind up with that top pick, that would be a boon to this franchise in a lot of ways.
Now, yeah, I don't want you to worry yourself to death about this.
I'm not. And by the way, that's not to say that I am Travis Schlenk, and Travis Schlenk would not choose R.J. Barrett over Zion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Already. Yeah. Gotcha. I'm just got you.
I'm just saying.
No, I hear you. I hear you, John. And I'm with you. I'm right there with you. It's Friday. Just gotta let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Just gotta let him go.
Zion with your first pick and Rui Hachimura with your second pick.
Yeah. All of that, John. I'm with that. Yeah, wishful thinking. Both of those. I may get one, but not both. But that. Hey, listen. It's cool. I like the way you think, John Freaky.
We get ready for Atlanta
just too
United.
Far out.
I don't know what to make. I mean, they're heavy favorites to win this game because Portland, comes in. They're a team that's just been red hot. But keep this in mind about Portland. I know that Atlanta United's at home. I know Atlanta United's on a roll. And you're saying, Portland was only an okay team during the regular season, but they've caught fire now. They've won on the road, Seattle. They won on the road at Dallas. They won on the road at Sporting Kansas City. They have a veteran team. Their guy, Diego Valeri, was the MVP last year.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good football. This is a good football team. And I got to tell you, you got to be careful on this.
And Sebastian
game.
Blanco, you know, those two guys could be a little bit of a problem. It's going to be interesting to see how they play this game here. I think it's going to be. I think the first time they played, I forgot what the formation was, but I think they've been playing with five back in the last couple games matches that they've been in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they attack this game against Atlanta United, knowing that they're coming in heavy underdogs.
Yeah, and we don't talk about this being Tata's last game. You know,
we don't talk about anything. We don't talk about Miguel Almirón being gone after this season.
Well, you know why we don't talk about that?
Because we're in the moment. We're in the throes of it.
There's that. Plus, I think there's some of us hoping that maybe that doesn't happen. It's probably going to happen, but I'm just saying.
You know, that money talks, man.
I know.
Money talks. And not only that, I think Atlanta United is kind of excited about it because it's a feather in the cap for them as well.
Yeah, it would be. And it would be, by the way, and he's absolutely right. I mean, if Newcastle wants to pay him $25 million, that's a good thing because it's a thing where you can attract other players to come by saying, hey, you want EPL money, you got to come here first. So, that would be a very good thing. He's right about that. It'd just be hard to lose Miggy at the same time. We have a lot going on. The Heisman is coming up tomorrow night. Could there possibly be an upset in the Heisman Trophy? Some of the other trophies have been awarded already. What did they say about the vote for the Heisman? Next, with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.